Welcome to Hello Hydrogen, a podcast series by the Port of Rotterdam Authority about the world of hydrogen, which is coming to life in Rotterdam. In this fourth and final episode, we will discover all there is to know about importing hydrogen. In the previous episode, we learned all about the different hydrogen carriers, which will be used for import. But where will we import it from? And how will we store it? To find out all about this, I'm talking to Martijn Koopman from the Port of Rotterdam Authority and Robert-Jan Reuvenkamp from Air Products. We're starting our conversation with Martijn, who is Program Manager International Hydrogen Supply Chains at the Port Authority. In the future, Rotterdam will import roughly 90% of its hydrogen supply from different countries, which is about 18 million tons. I ask Martijn to summarize how we got to those numbers.
Yeah, so about 10 years ago, we had a vision, looked into our crystal ball, and we foresaw that analyzing current energy forms and energy flows, that we believe there is a market throughput through the Port of Rotterdam of 20 million tons based on energy consumptions and current gray energy usages. Mm-hmm. When we then analyze how much of that hydrogen we can produce ourselves in the Port of Rotterdam using offshore wind, we actually come to a limitation of only about 10% of that volume. So hence 90% of the volumes will need to be imported. Yeah. And for the record, two-thirds of the 20 million tons are actually for the German market, Rotterdam being the largest port of Germany, definitely the largest energy port to Germany. Mm-hmm. Two-thirds, that's about 14 million tons of that green hydrogen will actually pass on to the German market.
Okay, clear. And the hydrogen we're going to import, how are we going to import that?
Yeah, so that can be imported in different forms, different so-called hydrogen carriers. What we see today, the most technically ready carrier form is ammonia. Ammonia is a product that's already being shipped and handled in the Port of Rotterdam. It's been handled around the world in ships for about 50 years. One of probably the most safest shipping industry in the world. And that safety standard is something very important that we keep improving on and we keep on high. Mm-hmm. So that will be the first form of hydrogen coming in. Of course, methanol is another form of hydrogen, and we see in the future also new technologies such as liquid organic hydrogen carriers, liquid hydrogen, and potentially even powder-shaped hydrogen carriers also being used to import hydrogen.
Yeah, and to first start with the ammonia, where are we going to get the ammonia?
Yeah, so effectively ammonia is produced from hydrogen and ultimately we hope from green hydrogen. How do you produce green hydrogen? You need to have green power, green mm-hmm. electricity. And ideally, you get that in countries where you have ideal sun, wind, or geothermal or hydro conditions. So mm-hmm. sun power, wind power, geothermal power, and hydro power. And a combination of thereof is even better. If you can then have your electrolyzer utilized as many hours as possible in the day, you'll have the most cost-effective hydrogen. Transform that into ammonia using so-called Haber-Bosch technology. Mm-hmm. You then have a product that is already being handled, as I mentioned, 50 years in typical ammonia carriers and brought to Port of Rotterdam.
All right. And these countries where we're going to get hydrogen, I believe we categorize them into three different categories, right?
That's correct.
And which one are those?
Yeah, so Port of Rotterdam has been in contact with over 150 projects worldwide that are looking to export to Rotterdam. We have recently decided in categorizing them in three country types. Those are, first of all, the OECD countries, the mm-hmm. most developed countries. We see the technology is ready there, the money is ready there, the willingness is ready there, and things are moving fastest in those countries. But they also have a large local market they need to satisfy first. And then when they have a surplus in certain of these countries, then they will start exporting to Europe. Second category we see is the Middle East and India. Mm-hmm. Also, some really good sun wind conditions, capital strength, knowledge being a lot of it being imported, but readily available. And some of those countries also will be keen first supporters to Europe. And then the third category that we have identified is South America and Africa. also some ideal sun-wind conditions. So some of these countries, some of these regions, however, potentially a little bit handicapped because of the financial or risk perception of these countries. And this is where we're going to try to see if we can help them actually in facilitating getting some of these projects off the ground.
Yeah, all right. More on that later. First, I have a question about the Port Authority as a whole. What role does it play?
Yeah, it's a really good question. Effectively, the port is just an owner, a leaser of a bit of land. We collect fees for our terminals that are being developed there, for the ships coming in, the cargoes being handled. So normally ports don't do very much. The Port of Rotterdam, though, has decided to take a proactive role, to have a vision, to bring parties together, coalitions of the willing, so to speak, and to develop plans in that help to accelerate the energy transition. Because only if you work on it all at the same time, typically you have the challenge of supply waiting for demand, demand waiting for supply, chicken and egg dilemma. We're trying to break that dilemma. That is the role that we are playing as the Port of Rotterdam.
Yeah, and how does your role fit into that? What do you do on a daily basis?
Well, that's exactly also what I do, is convince the suppliers, the developers of green hydrogen production facilities, that there is a market. It's evolving in Europe. Mm-hmm. We're having a little bit of a hiccup this year, but I'm convinced that next year that's going to come and pick up again. And at the same time, the European market, they need to be satisfied that there's going to be hydrogen supply. So, because why else would you convert your steel mill into using hydrogen if there is no hydrogen in the market? And that's what we've been doing the last 6 years. And I think we've been very successful.
Right.
And we're seeing that parties in over the entire supply chain, also in the middle, the terminals, the shipping lines, everybody's convinced this transition is happening. It's going to come with peaks and troughs, but the ultimate trend line is upwards. And it's definitely something that is unstoppable, yeah. And it's going to happen.
All right. So there are three categories of countries where we're going to get the hydrogen from. Which countries are that?
Yeah, we have agreements with all kinds of countries, 25 countries around the world. Mm-hmm. If we take the first category, OECD countries, we see intense collaboration with Norway, with Spain, in Europe, Scotland, potentially a big supplier.
Right.
Then outside of Europe and North America, the Canadians are moving fast. In the US, the IRA has been a great enabler of projects. Mm-hmm. Of course, everybody is holding their breath to see what the election is going to bring this year and how that's going to continue. Then we see outside North America and Europe, Australia also a huge potential, really. Yeah. The giant, effectively, in terms of available space with the right sun and wind conditions that are going to take off.
Yeah. But it would be doable to get hydrogen from Australia all the way to here?
That's a really good question. Instinctively, one would say it's too far away. But it turns out, and this has been confirmed by multiple parties and experts, that actually the variable shipping cost, so the cost of shipping hydrogen or ammonia effectively from Australia to Europe, mm-hmm. Is only about 5 to 6% of the overall price of hydrogen. So distance is actually not a limiting factor for Australian hydrogen to be on the European market.
Okay.
The fact that they have excellent sun and wind conditions, excellent investment climate, pretty good infrastructure, although they need a little bit of help, and we're giving that to them. We really and the total volume of area and volumes of hydrogen that can come from Australia, we really believe that Australia will also be supplying to Europe in the future.
So that ship coming from Australia with the hydrogen, with the ammonia, does it also sail on the ammonia?
Yes, it does. So one of the things that we definitely want to reduce is the amount of emissions from ships. Mm-hmm. The shipping industry is one of the largest emitters of CO2 in the world. And the idea is that particularly for ammonia transport, the vessels will be sailing on ammonia-fired engines. And so they will be burning the same green energy as that they're transporting and emitting zero CO2.
When will this happen?
So the first ammonia-fired vessels are sailing today or this year. The first ammonia bunkering will take place in the Port of Rotterdam. and the first commercial scale supply chains are expected within 1 to 2 years already.
Yeah. Okay. And we're also going to get hydrogen from Namibia, I believe.
Yeah, so that's the third category country, South America and Africa. And maybe if taking them all in one, there are specific areas in those two continents where you have, again, the excellent sun-wind combinations, ideally also with some hydro. And in northeast Brazil, we see the hydro potential also very large. Mm-hmm. And with that, you can get very competitive hydrogen. In Namibia, in the southwest of Namibia, the desert there has ideal sun conditions. In the afternoon, the wind picks up and the wind power takes over from the sun power, keeping the electrolyzer running. And we are helping Namibia develop a hydrogen export port in the port of Luderitz, mm-hmm. Where we believe around 3 million tons of hydrogen equivalent will be exported, hopefully, mostly, partly to Europe.
Yeah. Okay, and is that the only way we help them, by building the port, for example, or do we do other stuff as well for them?
Yeah, we definitely do. So we're in a coalition with Dutch state-owned enterprises, GasUnie and Invest International. We've supported Namibia with a fund, mm-hmm. the SDG Namibia One Fund, which is going to be a blended finance fund that helps the Namibian government to take their fair share percentage in the first very large hydrogen project in the country. Mm. The GasUnie is also supplying knowledge, expertise on the pipeline infrastructure development. And we are working with the Dutch Ministry of Economic Affairs, Foreign Affairs and Finance to actually also involve the government side and the embassy side with training, mm-hmm. What we call the Just Energy Transition Principles, of ensuring that the Namibians achieve the right skill sets to also be able to work on these hydrogen projects and benefit from them as much as possible. That is the fair energy transition that we really want to strive and make sure that they benefit from ultimately.
Yeah. And when does this have to be operational in Namibia?
The Namibian project in the southwest is called the Hyphen Project, is aiming for first gas in 2028.
All right. Well, that's fairly soon already.
That is very, very soon. Yeah. So they are about to start their FEED design, front-end engineering and design, this summer, mm-hmm. and hope to take an investment decision by the end of 2025. And effectively, that leaves them 3 years to build their plant.
And then from Namibia, it's also going to be ammonia coming over here.
Yeah, and Namibia, the Hyphen Project has chosen ammonia as their carrier.
Yeah, all right. What countries are we looking at for the liquid organic hydrogen carrier, the LOHC?
So the LOHCs, there are a number of technologies that are a little bit more advanced than others. The Japanese Chiyoda company has, with their MCH technology, is the most advanced. They mm-hmm. have had a pilot already between Brunei and Japan. We are working with them on a number of destinations from different European countries to the Kola terminal in the port of Rotterdam and then onward to various off-takers. Mm-hmm. Also, Hydrogenious, that's the German LOHC, quite well advanced, are working with Vopak on a supply chain from Scandinavia, yep. and possibly also from Spain. And then there are potentially also other LOHC types that we are keeping an eye on and potentially definitely want to assist in getting hydrogen to Rotterdam.
Yeah. Are there sufficient terminals already in the port?
Well, we have 15 independently operated third-party terminals, mm-hmm. and pretty much all of them are working on different plans to convert gradually their facility to be able to receive hydrogen carriers. Some of them are more advanced than others. We at the moment have, as mentioned, one existing ammonia terminal. Mm-hmm. Four additional ones have been announced and possibly even more will come. Okay. There are a number of methanol terminals already and LOHC. There are also two pilots that have been announced for the two different carriers. And lastly, liquid hydrogen, also a first project has been announced.
Yeah. What I'm wondering, what are the main challenges for the import of hydrogen at the moment?
What we see for the international supply chains to actually take off, we see the largest challenge at this moment is confirmation of offtake. The offtakers actually stepping up and saying, yes, we want that hydrogen for that price, the price that is currently being offered on. Mm-hmm. And we can then sign a deal And then the whole supply chain effectively will be rebuilt. What we're seeing is that particularly due to inflation, high interest rates, that the cost of hydrogen, green hydrogen, has really gone up, made it even more difficult to actually transfer to this new energy form. Mm-hmm. The subsidies are too large actually to supply. So there are definitely subsidy schemes, but they're not enough. And we're seeing there's a little bit of a lag at the moment and a wait for people, for the technology to develop even further so that the hydrogen can be built even more effectively. Mm-hmm. In the transition, we do see that blue hydrogen is picking up, and possibly even other colors or forms of hydrogen may start to appear. Blue hydrogen does seem to be in the money and be able to justify infrastructure development, such as pipelines. Mm-hmm. The pipeline in the port of Rotterdam currently being developed. But we also need a pipeline to Germany, an ammonia pipeline to Germany. And those could be built on the back of possibly blue hydrogen or blue hydrogen carriers in the near term, mm-hmm. transforming to green hydrogen in the longer term.
Yeah, because that hydrogen going to Germany from Rotterdam, is it all going via the pipeline, or are there other methods as well?
Well, initially there is no pipeline. So initially it will be by ship. Ammonia is already being shipped to Germany.
Okay.
There is a train option, although not very popular. And ultimately, when the volumes pick up, we do believe that a pipeline will be justified and will be chosen for, and that will be the way to go.
All right. So you just earlier on in the conversation, you said 20 million tons by 2050. Are we going to make that, you think?
2050, definitely. There's absolutely no reason to let that one go. We had set ourselves a really ambitious target of 4.6 million by 2030. That was based on the same assumptions as the European target of 10 plus repower EU, 10 mm-hmm. plus 10 million tons. Mm-hmm. We believe those assumptions are not being met. A number of regulatory requirements are just not happening fast enough. So we don't think the 4.6 is achievable in 2030 yet. It might slide a few years, but it definitely will happen. 2050, we're definitely holding on to that target of 20 million tons.
Hydrogen is coming from a lot of different countries in various forms, or carriers, to Rotterdam. But once here, we have to store it before we can use it or transport it further. To find out how that works, I'm joined via an online connection by Robert-Jan Reuvenkamp from Air Products. Firstly, he introduces himself and Air Products.
My name is Robert-Jan Reuvenkamp, working for Air Products in the port of Rotterdam. Air Products is an industrial gases supplier in the port of Rotterdam, has been operational for about 50 years in the port, supplying industrial gases to most of the industrial users in the port. That means nitrogen, oxygen, argon, and also hydrogen.
And in what way does Air Products already work with hydrogen?
Well, Air Products is a main producer of hydrogen. That's pretty much what we do in the port of Rotterdam. We have a pipeline system and supply in large quantities this hydrogen molecules to the existing customers across the port, chemical, petrochemical industry. And then we have a small merchant site. So we fill trucks, tube trailers to bring that hydrogen to customers that are not connected to the pipeline system today.
And how do you produce the hydrogen nowadays?
Yeah, that's the traditional way to make hydrogen from natural gas. So through an SMR, we are, let's say, converting that to low carbon blue hydrogen with the connection to Porthos. So we will be capturing the CO2 and have that supplied to the new Porthos pipeline. Mm-hmm. And besides that, we have also, let's say, an off gas green supply of hydrogen available.
With Gunvor, you're working on a new import terminal. Can you tell us a bit more about that?
Yeah, exactly. So as you say, it's a facility to produce renewable hydrogen from renewable energy. That renewable energy is converted into ammonia for us in the Middle East. We'll be, let's say, receiving that at the Gunvor location in the mm-hmm. Europort. Into that project, there's a couple of phases. We look to, as I said, import green ammonia, which is fully renewable and carbon free. We use it as a feedstock to produce renewable hydrogen locally. Mm-hmm. And then the third component is, let's say, with the molecules that are available, part of that, we look to liquefy that to be able to distribute that to primarily heavy duty mobility customers away from the Rotterdam location.
So you just said you will produce green hydrogen, but will this be in Rotterdam or in the Middle East?
No, that is correct. So we produce that in Rotterdam. We import green ammonia, mm-hmm. and that's what we convert in so-called crackers, dissociators, into green hydrogen that we then locally produce from a different source. Yeah.
And will you only import ammonia, or are you looking at other carriers as well?
No, we keep evaluating other carriers, but I think, let's say, specifically for this project, we look at ammonia. So maybe the way to look at it, let's say this project is focused on the import of ammonia, but obviously, mm-hmm. I mean, we keep tracking the progress of other carriers as well. But yeah. Provence has made a choice for this particular project on ammonia.
And so why the focus on ammonia?
I think that is for us, let's say, in terms of, let's say, usage, existing supply chains that are available for ammonia. That's one of the reasons. And likewise, we see ammonia as the most effective molecule to bring large amounts of hydrogen. So in terms of physical properties of ammonia, it's one of the best energy carriers. So it allows us to bring as much as possible hydrogen into Rotterdam.
What will be the capacity of the terminal once it's ready?
Yeah, so as I said, it's a phased approach. I mean, let's say we've been taking an FID on the project in the Middle East. That is 1.2 million tons of ammonia, which equates to about 600 tons per day of hydrogen, mm-hmm. Is available at the end of 2027. And we look to import a large share of that into Rotterdam.
And what's the status of the terminal in Rotterdam?
Yeah, so we're developing it in phases. We're right in the middle of that. We've completed a permit application for the first part of the scope. And we hope to move to a next phase of that part soon. The other parts of the scope were in the permitting process. So we hope to submit a permit, let's say, this year. We're actually thinking in quarters and not in years. As I said, we have 2027, we have the molecules available, and we want to secure these volumes for Rotterdam to make sure that the industry in Rotterdam does have access to the first mover molecules available.
Once the ammonia is cracked back to hydrogen, what will the hydrogen be used for?
It's twofold, basically. We look to ship volumes in liquid form to heavy-duty mobility industry. Mm-hmm. And secondly, we have molecules available to serve existing customers that are connected to the pipeline in the Port of Rotterdam.
Yeah, and earlier you mentioned the Middle East already. I believe it's called the Neom Green Hydrogen Company. Can you tell us a bit more about that?
Yeah, it's as of today, it's the largest green hydrogen facility in the world. Mm-hmm. So it's located in the Middle East, close to Neom. There's the abundance of wind and solar. And for us, that has basically been ideal for a cost-effective renewable energy production location. Yeah. As I said, it's expected to produce 600 tons per day of hydrogen. And we import that in the form of ammonia.
And is it operational already?
No, it's great to see. You see movies every month and you actually see, I would call it a desert, an organized desert. And now really it's a construction site. So it's I guess, in sizing, it's similar to the province of Flevoland, mm-hmm. Covering solar panels, covering wind turbines, and it's an actual construction site in operation.
And looking back at all of this, what are the primary challenges you face?
Yeah, I think there's two, let's say, larger or two categories. I think specifically for Rotterdam, you have these project challenges are around, let's say, the congestion on the network to have power available. Obviously, there's the permitting, there's the nitrogen deposition challenge that we see in the Netherlands and in the Port of Rotterdam. Mm-hmm. And then, let's say, the other category is more around the policies and regulation. So it's a first mover project. We have the ambition, let's say, to continue as the first mover in the energy transition. Mm-hmm. But there are some regulations and policies of around the application of green hydrogen. So what qualifies as green? How will that green hydrogen enter the market? Who will buy it at what particular cost? So these type of regulatory challenges is something that we're looking at authorities, governments to get some further clarity on.
Yeah.
And we're confident that we will get there, that the EU's legislation will create that market and stimulate that market for first mover molecules to arrive to Rotterdam.
Before we close this episode, Martijn of the Port Authority has a final word to you, our listener.
Yeah, I think one really important message that I'd like to give the listeners is that people are seeing a huge hype in hydrogen over the last 4 or 5 years. Mm-hmm. And suddenly, in the last few months, we're seeing a real dip, a real disappointment, and people repeating each other that it's not happening. The off-takers are not there. There's not enough subsidies. And I think the people need to be aware that there was a little bit too much air in the hype. Mm-hmm. And it's good that we're getting a little bit of air out of the hype. We're going to have a little bit of a dip in 2024 and 2025. I am absolutely convinced momentum will pick back up again, and we're definitely going to see this transition through.
Thank you for listening to Hello Hydrogen. Don't forget to subscribe and rate the podcast wherever you find your podcasts. For more information on this podcast or hydrogen in the Port of Rotterdam, take a look at portofrotterdam.com/hydrogen.